You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Colombia.
It's that time of the week again, folks. This is me, your host, Richard McCall, here from Bogota, Colombia, reporting in for the Colombia Calling podcast. This is episode 294. We've got a very special guest on the line. We'll be tuning in with Kevin McCaffrey later on in the podcast. He's a singer-songwriter from Ireland and based in Cali. So we'll be focusing on the music scene in Cali and how things have changed over the decade that he's been living there. But of course, before we go into our conversation with Kevin, we'll be discussing or we'll be listening to the news report from Adrian Alsema, brought to us by Columbia Reports. He's the director of Columbia Reports based in Medellin. And of course, we need to ensure that independent press in English continues to run in Colombia and be, of course, a watchdog for the authorities. So there's a Patreon page that you can find a link to on his website. Throw some money at it and ensure that the Columbia Reports continues to survive in a fraught media situation. Talking about Kevin McCaffrey, we are very, very honored to be able to give one of, I suppose, the first listenings of his single, which is out on November the 20th, called Confessions. So you'll have to listen to the end of the podcast and the end of the conversation, because we'll be signing out with Kevin McCaffrey's first single off his EP, Confessions, at the very end. So this is a quality single. I've listened to it, and you guys will get the honor and the pleasure at the end of the Columbia Calling podcast exclusive. So thank you again, episode 294. We're signing off. I'm going to leave you in the capable hands of Adrian Alsema, and then we'll be back with Kevin McCaffrey. So keep on listening, don't go away, and thank you.
My name is Adrian Alsema, and this is the news for Columbia Calling for October 8, 2019. Former President Álvaro Uribe had his first day in court on Tuesday to respond to fraud and bribery charges. Uribe's testimony before the Supreme Court follows more than a month of witness hearings in Colombia's trial of the century. The former president is accused of manipulating witnesses who have testified that the Uribe family formed a death squad in the 1990s. Following the hearings, the judge that is investigating the charges will recommend a verdict to the court. The Supreme Court's verdict is not expected for another few months. Colombia's justice minister is considering replacing prison authority IMPEC after the escape of a former congresswoman. Former senator-elect Aida Merlano escaped while she was visiting a dentist for a teeth whitening procedure. Justice Minister Margarita Cabello fired the director of IMPEC and the director of the prison where Merlano was kept almost immediately. The prosecution and the Inspector General's office are investigating which officials took part in the escape. Center-right candidate Carlos Galan has overtaken center-left candidate Claudia Lopez in the Bogota mayoral race. Lopez was leading the race for months, but has lost her advantage to Galan, three different polls have confirmed. The outspoken left-wing and right-wing candidates, Holman Morris and Miguel Uribe, are trailing far behind in the polls. In Medellin, the mayor has been charged with election meddling. According to the Inspector General, Mayor Federico Gutierrez has pressured city hall workers to promote a candidacy of his protege, Santiago Gomez. Billboards and flyers on which both appear are also investigated. Electoral law prohibits sitting officials to endorse candidates to prevent the abuse of authority. The number of municipalities at risk of fraud and violence ahead of the October 27 local elections is down 25% compared to 2015, according to the Electoral Observation Mission. This means that the increase in violent incidents implies an intensification of political violence in very specific and isolated areas. Many of these areas are marked as priority regions in the country's peace process. Colombia's largest student organizations have announced mass protests for Thursday. The protests were announced after individual university marches were violently repressed in several cities. In response, the government revived a proposal to restrict social protests, but chances that such a proposal will make it through Congress and the Constitutional Court are virtually nil. Unemployment in August reached its highest level since 2010, according to statistics agency DANE. The country's unemployment has been increasing slightly since 2015, but has accelerated since President Iván Duque took office last year. In August, unemployment hit 10.8%, an increase of 1.6 percentage points compared to the same month last year. That's the end of this week's news bulletin. Now back to Colombia Calling with Richard McCall.
And we're back. This is segment 3 of episode 294 of the Colombia Calling podcast. On the line from Cali. I always like having people on from Cali. It's always, you know, the image of somewhere more tropical. And of course, you know, when you're stuck up here in the freezing cold of Bogota. But on the line from Cali is Kevin McCaffrey. Now, those of you who have been listeners and loyal listeners to this podcast will know that he was back on in September 2016. That was his previous appearance on Colombia Calling. It was episode 157. And he, as a gentleman from County Amar, Portadown, so 30 minutes outside of Belfast and out there, he was giving us a, you know, an idea on the parallels between the peace accords in Ireland and the peace accords here in Colombia. So it was a fascinating podcast from way back. I mean, now we're way back, but it's another great opportunity to have him on the show because he's a singer-songwriter, and we did touch on that back in episode 157, but that was several years ago now, and now we're into 2019, and this is Kevin's 10th year here in Colombia, and his EP, his very own EP, has been remixed and, you know, completely polished and will be coming out, the first single, on the 20th of November, and it's called Confessions. It's a title track. At the very end of the podcast, we're going to have a little listen to it, and of course, so you have to support, as we do here on Colombia Calling. But we've got Kevin on the show to talk to us about Cali. It's time to, you know, really explore this city and how it's changed over 10 years. So welcome back on Colombia Calling after so long, Kevin.
Thank you very much, Richard. It's a pleasure to be talking to you here again.
Nice.
On the show.
It's great to have you. I mean, it's been too long, and you get up to so much stuff down there in Cali, and I have Dave Proctor I've had on the show, and I've had Brian Murphy, and I've had, I can't remember who else, plenty of people in Cali talking, but you and I just haven't sort of, let's say, crossed paths in the last three and a bit years. So it's great to have you back on here. And now we're going to discuss with you, when you came to Cali back in 2009, and now it's 2019, tell us a little bit about life in Cali over a decade.
Well, firstly, I'd like to talk about how I basically arrived in Cali. I was studying in Manchester in England, and I basically came over here working for the British Council. There's a program between the British Council and ESATEX. So basically, I came over here teaching on a one-year visa, working at Unibadge. But of course, I fell in love with the city. And so I started to work. I found a job literally like 3 days before leaving. And I am now at the Colegio Jefferson, which is now I'm starting my 10th year at the school. So, yeah, it's been a massive journey. I thought I was going to be here for a year, and now I'm starting my 11th year, which is incredible. So, yeah, things are great.
11th year starting. I mean, you're part of the furniture now.
Definitely, yeah. I feel like enough. I mean, Cali's basically my home now. Yeah. And I mean, I've been living away from home anyway since I was 18, so yeah. 15 years. Yeah. So, no, I feel like I really, really love life in Cali. Very, very happy at the minute here.
Well, of course. I mean, you know, no reason to stay if you weren't. And I mean, well, tell us about how life has developed over this time here.
Well, I mean, the sort of what we discussed. Basically, I'd like to talk more, I would say, you know, in terms of how the music scene and how the artistic scene has really changed. And there is quite a massive difference, I would say, in the 10 years. As I say, I arrived in 2009 compared to 2019. For example, whenever I arrived, I mean, you really only had two options of in terms of music, I would say. You had the salsa places that would have, you know, the crossover places that you would go to in Manga. For foreigners, you had places like Tintindeo, Saperoco, these salsa bars. And then the other alternative then was rock bars, of which you had some bars in the Quinta, places in Granada, such as Bourbon Street and Talbert's. So basically, whenever I arrived, I would say there wasn't a lot of, you know, so much tourism, so much of an option of our variety of places to go if you want to listen to live music. But things have changed a lot, I would say. And then, you know, in the last 10 years, massively. For example, in the last 2 months, just to give you an idea, we've had, you know, we had the World Salsa Festival. We had a jazz go. For example, I went to see the Ron Carter Trio.
Wow.
In the Teatro Municipal, which was amazing. We had the Blues and Folk Festival, which is organized by the Colombo Americano. And I actually was part of it with my group, Cali Celta, which was an absolutely fantastic, unforgettable experience. There was also, even last Saturday, I went to the Teatro Municipal to watch the Philharmonic Orchestra. They were doing like cinema classics, basically. And since then, basically, there's been a massive explosion in terms of restaurants, art, culture. Cali's really, really happening at the minute. There's just so much going on, so many bars, restaurants, culture on offer. And I think it's absolutely fantastic. You know, obviously, I'm a massive fan of exposing myself to different cultures and art and things like that. So, yeah, things are definitely on the way up, Cali.
Well, I think, you know, I mean, you think about the capital and how it should be cosmopolitan and so on in Bogota. But really, I would also say, despite being a big city and having pockets for this and pockets for that, the last 10 years really has been a revelation here as well. So I would say, I would, you know, venture the guess that there is the country is opening up. You know, horizons are opening up, creativity is altering. It's not just, like you say, salsa or vallenato or when we talk about the music scene. It's there's just this, you know, not just the sort of hair rock places that you get in Lourdes here in Bogota. There's something else coming along, and that you can have an audience for, you know, a Celtic band, a Cali Celta, is huge.
I know, definitely. I mean, and there's a couple of bars in particular that are really, really, I would say, pioneers, are really promoting local music in Cali. In fact, you know, they've even created a group and a hashtag on Instagram called Mas Música Local.
Cool.
For example, there's a bar called La Fuente de Sola that I've played on various occasions. And if you go there, you know, and if you go there on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, they have, you know, they'll have rock bands, reggae bands, hip hop, everything going on. And then two of my good friends, who I'm also in a band in the Cali Celta with, they have a live blues jam in Warhol Bar, which is another place that they just have such a variety of different music on offer. So yeah, things are absolutely, there's been a massive explosion, I would say, even just in the last 2 or 3 years. I mean, I'll be honest, I've only really heard live rock music,
yeah.
I'll be honest, until a couple of years ago, and just recently I've just been exposed to so many different cultures, different ideas, different opinions. So I would say I was considered Cali, you know, quite a way behind Medellin and Bogota and Cartagena in terms of culture. But I think people are starting to open their minds a bit more and experiment. Of course, there's still a massive population of people in Cali who, they're Friday and Saturday night, you know, they work all week, and then they go out and they go to a salsa club, they drink poker, they drink aguardiente, and they dance salsa all night, and that's fine. But there is also a massive, particularly young people, there's these places coming up, such as there's a place called Dia 60 or 1060. There's a place called La Pergola. And these are places that are really trying to fuse different types of music, so they'll have, for the salsa and the Latino crowd, but they'll also mix it with you know, European music with North American music or whatever. So yeah, very, very vibrant, a lot of things, a lot of experimentation happening with music.
This is, I mean, it's so, I mean, Cali is, you know, it's a very musical city. You mentioned some of the obviously extravaganzas going on, but I mean, I always think of the Petronio Alvarez, which I saw many, 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 many years ago, my first ever trip to Colombia back in 98, 99. And, you know, I was certainly one gringo amongst thousands of caleños, but it was, you could, music very much runs through the veins. And I mean, we could say that for all Colombians, but Cali in particular, I would say. And what I want to ask you really is about in Cali, because I know a fair few sort of musicians here and there or traveling musicians. Are there other places where you could just go and pick up a guitar, you know, open night, open mic nights, I guess, or pick me up nights, or that you can find in bars in Cali as well?
It actually seems to be finally catching on, because to be honest, I organized my own open mic night in a bar called La Mancha back in 2015, and I tried it out for about 6 months on Thursday nights, but it didn't really catch fire, let's say. But I've seen literally four or five bars in the last couple of weeks that have been doing open mic nights, and I also went to one 3 weeks ago in a place called Cali Music Hall, which is this new, fantastic, really cool venue. For example, Julio Nava and Kraken are playing there tonight. So they did an open mic night. So it is catching on. But it's something that's taking time. I think people, because we just take that for granted, you know, in England or Ireland, there's just so many, many nights, you know, any night of the week, pretty much you can get, if you're in a big city, you can get an open mic night.
Yeah.
But it is starting to take shape, and people are starting to take notice of these open mic nights.
Yeah. If we were going to take like Colombia as a whole, and let's say, and maybe let's leave Cartagena out of this, because it has a different part of the equation, I think, because of the tourism that has been coming there for so long. But if we were going to take, let's say, Medellin, Bogota, Cali, I don't think any other city at this moment. But what in your mind can we attribute this now more? It's a greater openness to different cultures, different music, but coming in, of course, with its Colombian element. What do you feel has contributed to this change?
Well, I'd say the big thing is tourism, obviously, because people weren't really coming to Cali 10 years ago. I mean, I didn't. You used to get some people, but it was rare. There's just been a massive explosion of tourism. So then I think you have to cater for the, you know, a balance of foreign population and, you know, people that are traveling through, as well as the locals. So that's one thing. For example, you mentioned there the Petronio Alvarez. That festival is crazy now. It's just absolutely packed. There's thousands and thousands and thousands, and many people even come to Cali just for that festival. So I would put the first point would definitely be tourism, tourism investment, ecotourism as well. You know, a lot of people are coming because people are realizing that Cali is a really fantastic city with a lot of options in terms of traveling, because most people, whenever they travel through Colombia, they go to Bogota or they go to Medellin. Medellin seems to be the most popular. But now, and just, I think just the more, just a general, I would say people are becoming less conservative in Cali, if you understand what I mean. I just think people seem to be more and more open-minded, and they're more willing to try different things.
It's nice to hear that. I understand exactly what you're saying in that sort of less conservative style. Just, I mean, we're not talking, you know, the politics. I think we're just talking culturally in this one. And, you know, one thing I think that could possibly be, you know, contributing to this change is the younger generations coming through who are perhaps a bit more international, you know, as university students who've traveled or spent some time abroad and coming back and are just, you know, trying to edge maybe their city forwards a little bit in this respect. Is this something that you would say maybe is happening?
For sure, 100%. And I mean, I would say Cali is also attracting more international students as well. So I think it's a lot of, you know, like in any country, any city, most cultural movements start with young people. So I would say that it's more being led by the younger generations, because as the people I mentioned before, they like to go and dance salsa and drink aguardiente and poker. as I said, those type of people, it's difficult to change. They're happy doing that, and that's completely fine. But I think it's more, it's definitely the younger generations that are leading this cultural movement, or almost, I would say, revolution, if it's a bit of a strong word. But yeah, I would completely agree with you. It's more the younger people.
Well, we all like the idea of a cultural revolution. It sounds so good, doesn't it? Okay, so let's talk. I mean, we've got a Puente coming up. It's a nice 3-day weekend coming up. Lots of those in Colombia, for those of you who don't know, something like 18 of them or something. What would be the ideal, in your mind, Puente getaway to Cali? What should someone, if we're leaving Bogota or we're just visiting for this Puente, what would you recommend for us?
Okay, well, again, it really depends on what you want to do. Richard, I would say if you want to do more ecotourism, and if you like cycling, there's so many really good places to cycle in Cali. I'm a big fan of cycling myself. So you can cycle to Pance, or you can, of course, just simply drive to Pance. So there's a lot of nice places to have lunch, get in the river. So Pance would be an option, or Dapa. Dapa is a really, really beautiful part. It's about, from the city center, you're talking maybe 20 minutes to 30 minutes, depending on traffic. In Dapa, you have a cooler climate. You have a wonderful view of Cali. It's more mountainous. If you're in terms of more the cultural scene or architecture, I would definitely recommend San Antonio and El Peñon. It's lovely walking around San Antonio, particularly at the weekends. On a Puente weekend, the park is full. They have these sort of cuenteros, you know, people telling stories, telling jokes, people playing live music, people selling food in the streets. So San Antonio is a must if you visit Cali. Then in terms of restaurants, places to eat and drink, etc., I would say Peñon, El Barrio El Peñon, and Granada would have the best variety, because there, I mean, you can get Asian food, you can get European food, as well as local, very, very good local Colombian food. There's definitely something for everything in the city.
Yeah.
And then, of course, which a lot of people, a lot of foreigners in particular, if you want to go to dance, there's just Cali, just so many places to go and dance salsa. In fact, literally, there's probably about at least 10 schools that have salsa schools every night of the week. I live beside, for example, a hostel, which is also a salsa school. So as I said, there's something for everyone, you know, whether you want to come by yourself, with your friends, with your family, there's something for everyone, really.
Well, how's your salsa dancing?
Like they say here, me defiendo. Like I'm not an amazing salsa dancer. But yeah, I'm not bad for an Irishman, let's say that.
Well, you guys, I mean, you know, you've got a musical background. You should be able to dance at the very least.
We have a musical background, but we're not very good dancers generally.
You hide behind the mic.
Ireland's full of good writers and good things like that. Better with the pen, I would say, than our feet.
Okay, well, you know, I'll give you that. Definitely, the phenomenal history there that could be explored for days, if not months. But that brings us quite nicely to what we should be talking about now. Is, of course, you're hiding behind the mic, as it were, as a singer-songwriter. You're not hiding at all. You're putting yourself out there, and you're singing, and you're songs that you yourself have written. Obviously, I'm sure you pour, you know, a lot of yourself, a lot of the emotion into these songs. And I mean, this has got to be quite a nervy process, you know, sharing something that you've written from your heart out there with strangers.
It is and it isn't, because it's such a really wonderful, special, liberating feeling to be able to share your own emotions and feelings and opinions with people, and if they like it, it's just, there's literally for me no better feeling than having that. And my songs anyway generally tend to be very autobiographical, very honest,
yeah,
but at the same time quite uplifting, and this, you know, songs that you can, you know, throw your hands up, really lively as well. So it's not actually that nerve-wracking. However, I've been recently doing this, I've started this concept called the 30 Song Challenge. So that was a bit nerve-wracking. So that was something that I did. I had to record a song every single day for 30 days. So even though people see these sort of 30-second or 45-second videos, the amount of time sometimes that it takes can be literally 2 hours for that little segment. So I was definitely nervous about that, wondering, was I going to be able to finish the challenge? What were people going to say? Was there going to be any interest? But it was an absolutely fantastic experience. I got a lot of really, really good feedback, a lot of positive reinforcement. And my number one goal from that was actually to achieve, you know, more discipline, to improve as a musician, to improve as a singer. And I think I definitely achieved all that.
Great. And I saw this on Facebook, and you had people writing in to suggest songs.
Exactly. Yeah, that was the really cool thing. Initially, the whole concept I was trying to do was 30 songs that have influenced me as an artist, and I was leaving number 10 to 1, which were 10 albums that have most influenced me as an artist. Mm-hmm. But you know, after two or three, you know, with the first three or four people started, yeah, writing in and said, yeah, can you do this song? Can you do this song? So I got so many requests. So some of them I managed to get in, and then there's about 12 others that I have to do after, which I just started today, in fact.
Yeah.
So that actually, you know, a completely other dimension that I wasn't actually even planning. And to be honest, because of the response and because I enjoyed it so much and I learned so much, it's something that I'm going to do on a regular basis. I'm going to try and think of different concepts for this 30 song challenge. For example, the next one I'm going to do is 30 songs from movies and TV series. Mm-hmm. But really the end goal of this is I'm planning to do a documentary probably in February, where I'm going to try and write 30 different individual songs in 30 days and record the process.
Wow.
That is the big goal. So it's a lot of work. And so this is almost, as I said, trying to ease myself into it, trying to sort of practice, get a bit of encouragement, a bit of support, see how things go, what people understand about this 30-song challenge. And then, as I say, next year, then really try and do this 30 songs in 30 days, completely organic, 30 of my own individual songs, which I know is going to be an absolutely massive challenge. But I think it could make... has the makings of a very, very interesting documentary.
Well, I think so. I think you're the hardest working singer-songwriter I've heard of. Do you get people then writing in and asking for ridiculous requests regarding these songs? Because I have an idea. If were I, you know, more active, I would be really annoying and try and go for lots of, you know, 8-minute plus songs. Like I think of like Television's Marquee Moon and things like that. I'd really try and throw you a curveball.
No, well, to be honest, it's more sometimes that, you know, you'll get requests for songs from artists that you would never ever think of doing. For example, there's a student of mine, actually, she said, Kevin, could you please really, really do a song by One Direction? So if I actually do this, which I am going to do, I think I've already sold out as a musician. But it's more that sometimes you'll get songs that puts me way out of my comfort zone, which is good. You know, you're trying to adapt a pop song or, you know, any other genre of song and try and put my own characterization of the song, I guess.
One Direction. I do know who they are.
I know, yeah. Imagine. I'm going to be singing One Direction next week. I never thought it would ever happen in my life, but c'est la vie, as they say.
But I think these are great and it's a lot of fun. And of course, you know, it will drive you.
Exactly. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about, yeah. Of course, yeah.
So we haven't heard your songs yet. But again, I will be playing part of one at the end. We'll tune out to one. But how would you describe your genre of music?
Okay, well, I'm massively influenced by, I would say, music from the 60s and 70s. Uh-huh. I mean, my biggest influence would be the Beatles, the Stones, Neil Young, but Bruce Springsteen's a massive one for me as well. Nick Cave, Tom Waits, music from Manchester, such as the Stone Roses, the Smiths, and of course Irish folk as well. As you were referring to at the first part of the show, I have a group called Cali Celta, which is obviously, it's just predominantly Celtic music. And we played last Friday in the Centro Cultural Confandi, and it was an absolutely incredible, incredible experience. This is the biggest festival of its kind in Colombia. I mean, you have artists from the US. It's a concert and a festival that's organized by the American Embassy and the Colombo Americano.
Yeah.
So it takes part in cities from Cali, Buga, Pereira, Palmira, Armenia, Medellin, and Bogota. Wow. So it's a big, you know, it's a big national festival. And we had the opportunity for playing in this amazing festival, which was also always a massive dream. And so we were playing with there was a blues band that played before us, and then Cali Celta.
Yeah.
And then at the end, we did this amazing, 15-minute blues jam, which was unbelievable. It was completely improvised. They just said to me, whenever we were coming to our last song, said, would you like to do a jam with these three musicians? One of which was actually the drummer of the former drummer of the Black Eyed Peas, this guy called
Teas. No way.
Honestly, yeah. And these are really, really top level musicians. But we held our own. We weren't flustered. We held our own, definitely. And nice. That was the big highlight. Definitely was the big blues jam at the end. And it was just, it's different because I have another rock band called the Tin Pigs, and I have a solo project. But there's something very, very different. The feeling that I get whenever I'm playing Celtic music, it's just there's. You just have it's so much more expressive, fun, and people, for whatever reason, we're on the other side of the world, people in Colombia seem to really, really love Celtic music. Mm. They have even already invited us for the festival in 2020 to play in Buga and Palmira, with the hope of bringing it also to Bogota and Medellin. So that was a massive experience, and I think it's going to open a lot of doors for us as a group.
I like this very much because, obviously this traditional music from Ireland affects you, but I'm curious about why Colombians love the Celtic music. We had a Burns night up here in Bogota, and it was, there was Scottish reels and everything, but we couldn't find any professionals for the Scottish reels. We had to hire Gaelic dancers, Celtic dancers to put on a performance. Well, we figured it wasn't far away from what we were looking for, but it's the only people we could find, even in Bogota, had to be a Celtic troupe. But that was fun. We'll have to get you up to do the Mompos Jazz Festival one of these.
That would be absolutely amazing. Kind on that.
Yeah. Tell me. I love this. We could talk for hours. I think there's a mutual appreciation for music. You mentioned the Smiths, Neil Young, Nick Cave, Bruce Springsteen, Stone Roses. These are all individuals, bands, and so on that I absolutely love. But tell us about the Tin Pigs.
The Tin Pigs. First, the name. It's quite a funny name that is pretty much only used. It was used by my mum, actually. Someone's if you're basically a bit of a fool. A bit of a charlatan almost. You're a bit of a tin pig. And if you're acting the maggot, stop acting the tin pig. So basically I got that phrase from my mum, so I have my mum to thank for the title The Tin Pigs. And also one of my brothers, who's the youngest, my brother Cahill. We used to refer to him, or we still actually refer to him, as the tin pig of the family. So that is in terms of the title. But no, with those guys, it's more we're doing just classic rock more than anything. Some of my own stuff, some covers. But it's, I've got, as I said, that's another side project with the Cali Celta. But at the minute, I'm really, really focused on my solo career more than anything. As we were saying before, I'm going to be releasing my debut single and video on the 20th of November, which is also my birthday. Mm-hmm. So I'm very, very excited about that.
It's great. And so we'll be able to find this on SoundCloud, YouTube, everywhere else?
Everywhere, yeah. This will be going to all digital platforms such as Spotify and Amazon Music, etc., etc., of course. So the idea, so I already recorded the EP, finished in 2016/2017. And then last December, I got it remixed and remastered. And basically, I've just been in the process trying to sort of organize the sort of artistic aspects of the release, basically. So yeah, it's a 5-song EP, but we're going to be releasing each song, so the 20th of November, and then every sort of 3 weeks, I'll be dropping the second single, the third single, etc., etc.
Very cool. Indeed.
So yeah, everything will be available on all of the digital platforms, YouTube, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, we'll make sure that we post them on the Facebook and Twitter account and so on, and make sure, hopefully drive you a few more listeners. And yeah, that, you know, the record deal that you're holding out for.
The dream.
I think it's really great. I think it's really interesting that you still find time, despite teaching all day in a private school in Cali, and you still find time to dedicate to your obvious passion of music. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. It is tough to balance them, Richard. And to be honest, I really admire any person that dedicates their life completely to art, because it's really, really hard to make it in Colombia. You know, people selling, you know, artesanías or whatever, you know, on the street, people trying to sell their paintings, musicians. It's really, really, really hard. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, my hat goes off to them. I know that I don't have, unfortunately, that dedication. Well, not the dedication, but also, I mean, I do love teaching, so I like to balance both.
Mm.
But as I say, you know, it is hard to balance. But I think this is in particular why this documentary might really appeal to a lot of people. You know, this 30 songs in 30 days, 30 song challenge, because there are so many people like myself that have their full-time job and they really, really want to make it as a musician or any type of art, you know, whether you're a painter or whatever. And very, very often we don't follow our dreams. Very, very often people forget about the talents that they have and they just get bogged down in their 9-to-5. You know, and that's why people have their midlife crises and whatever, because they end up doing and focusing on things that don't really make them happy.
Definitely. Well, I'm going to name my song that I'm thinking of. I've been thinking of is for you to play if you can. Was I want Alternative Ulster by the Stiff Little Fingers, please.
Okay, I love that song, Richard. So that would be an absolute pleasure for me.
I saw them live once in New York.
They're definitely a big favourite in my family, amongst my brothers and my sister. Okay. So Alternative Ulster for Richard McCall. I'm literally just writing it down here on my notepad.
I appreciate that immensely. So listen, we're gonna finish chatting to Kevin McCaffrey now, and I'm going to leave you with his song Confessions, and we'll sign out with that on this episode 294 of the Columbia Calling podcast. And of course, check out the Facebook page and Twitter and so on, because we'll be posting Kevin's songs and links to them, and where you can of course download them and listen to them. So Kevin, thank you again for coming back on the podcast. It's been too long, and we'll have to get you back on before 3 years are up again, and maybe, well, we'll see what what the future brings, and of course the success story that your music will likely bring and the happiness into each and every home. So thank you again for coming on the show.
Yeah, Richard, thanks a million. As always, an absolute pleasure to be on the show, and all the best to you and all the listeners.
Thank you again. So again, 294, this is Kevin McCaffrey singing his EP Confessions, out on November the 20th. Please share, listen, enjoy, and spread the word. Okay, and that's me signing off for this week. Thank you again, and bye-bye.
1, 2, 3, 4. Just try from the forbidden fruit. I have to say that it tastes so good. This ain't no bite, no Adam or Eve, 'cause you know that she's just make-believe. I've got confessions of a dirty mind. What's in there, you don't know what you find until you try. You gotta try. You need to try. Want to judge me except myself. Won't let her ruin my mental health. Liam making some bad mistakes. Drinking too much, I've got the shakes. I've got confessions of a dirty mind. What's in there, you don't know what you find until you try. You gotta try.
Only it took so long to realize I've got confessions of a dirty mind. What's in there? You don't know what you find until you try. You gotta try. You need to try. I've got confessions of a dirty mind. What's in there? You don't know what you find until you try. Try, try.